The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, please smash that like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent while you're smashing. Let me once again remind you what we got going on over a 10-week span. It's called the Summer Shootaround. It's a series during which we're going to focus on 20 notable teams over a span of 10 weeks. Two per week, 20 teams in 10 weeks, and we're doing the schools in alphabetical order. So we've already knocked out Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Auburn, and Baylor. Now we turn our attention to Creighton. The Blue Jays went 23-12 last season, finished fourth in the Big East standings, got a 9 seed in the NCAA tournament, then lost to the eventual national champion, Kansas, in the round of 32. From that team, Creighton lost Ryan Hawkins, Alex O'Connell, so two of the top three scorers, but the Blue Jays are bringing back Ryan Cuckbrenner, Ryan Nimhard, Arthur Kaluma, Trey Alexander, four of the top six scorers. They're also adding South Dakota State transfer Baylor Shireman. I've got Creighton ranked 11th in the CBS Sports Top 25 and 1. We'll see what Deadleg thinks of Greg McDermott's Blue Jays next. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
All right, Deadleg, I got Creighton ranked 11th in the top 25-1. That makes the Blue Jays my pick to win the Big East. Where are you at on Creighton as a legitimate Final Four contender?
Well, let's go with the trivia time right off the bat before I answer that. All right. Trivia time. You ready for it?
Ready. I'm always ready.
All right. Let's see if you can get this within. See, you might know it. You did your research, so I know you're checking in on various sources, including Wikipedia. So maybe you stumbled upon this and it's sitting there in the recesses of your brain. Let's see if you can get this within 30 victories. Mm-hmm. 30 north, 30 south. It counts as a win. Otherwise, you're out. How many total career wins for Greg McDermott do you think?
Oh, I have not looked that up. Career wins. Greg McDermott.
Yep. I can say he started in 1994 at Wayne State in Division II. So this counts to his overall tally here.
I have no context for what this could be. I'm going to say 450.
You're in the ballpark, but that is an 556 and 332. Greg McDermott's won 556 games in his career. He's a bit more accomplished than he probably gets credit for. At Creighton, he's 276 and 137. That's a 6.68 win percentage. 57 years old. He's done damn well for himself at Creighton, getting that job after, you know, Dana Altman in a different conference obviously brought that program to sustained relevance. As for this season, I'm intrigued by Creighton. So I was thinking about where they'll be projected versus what the expectation should be. All right. Last season, the Jays finished 50th in KenPom. They finished 24th in Torvik. That's a split that we don't often see among teams that would be in the top 50 of either of those predictive metrics, Parrish. They were 40th in Sagarin and 41 overall in the Massey Composite. So they were a good team. They were not a great team. How good was Creighton last season? How big will the jump be? The team brings back 8 scholarship players. There is a case Creighton will be the best team in the Big East. You think that will be the situation based upon where you have the Jays ranked in your preseason top 25 and 1. Villanova no longer has Jay Wright. Providence lost some pieces after winning the Big East regular season last season. Providence didn't even play the full allotment of games. We'll see where the Friars go. I think Creighton's floor is number 4 in the Big East. And if you're a Creighton fan listening and you think that's too low, I'm saying it's the floor. It's not my prediction. I'm saying the worst case scenario, I think, for Creighton in the league will be 4th. But keep in mind, there are teams every single season. I'm going to leave the roster breakdown to GP. I just want to remind Creighton fans of this. Given where they finished last season, you will get Nembhard back. We'll talk about his injury in a second here. But every single season, there are teams that are almost universally projected in the top 20 or in the top 25 that wind up failing to be top 25 teams, not just even at the end of the season, but for a majority of the season. Maybe Creighton will be one of those teams. Maybe it won't. But last season, here were those teams. Michigan, preseason number 6 team, did not appear in a single poll from December 6 on. Last offseason, Parrish, the idea that Michigan would have been written off if we had done these offseason series a year ago, it would have been incredulous to think that Michigan wouldn't be a top 25 team. Guess what? It was 6, and then it wasn't in a poll for more than 80% of the season. It happened, and it happened without big-time injuries. Memphis, preseason number 12, didn't appear in any poll from the same mark on as Michigan. Oregon, preseason 13, was in the first 2 weeks of the AP poll only to never come back. Alabama went from 14 to unranked. Ohio State, preseason 17, ended the season unranked. UNC, Florida State, Maryland, St. Bonaventure, and Virginia all started ranked in the preseason. Most of those teams were not ranked for a majority of the season. That's 10 of the 25 teams. So I want to be clear about this. I'm not saying Creighton is destined to this, but as we're building out these podcasts, Parrish, and we're talking about these teams, there will be a couple we touch on that aren't going to live up to expectations. It's the same deal as what we talk about guys that wind up going to be lottery picks in the draft. They're not going to hit. They're going to have bad careers. They're going to be out of the NBA in 4 or 5 years. It's hard to predict which ones those are. Creighton feels like a team that does apply to this scenario. It was good last season, brings back a lot of pieces. We want to see how Nembhard comes back from the wrist injury. He had surgery on it. They should improve, but I'm just not there yet that Creighton is going to be the best team in the Big East. I find the Big East race to be pretty compelling. Where do you stand and how confident you are that Creighton will be number one or a clear-cut number one in that league?
I don't think they're clear-cut. And this is where Creighton fans are, you know, getting ready to throw their iPhones or computers into a wall. Because every time I update the top 25 and one, somebody is eager to tell me Creighton should be in the top 5. Creighton's top 2. Creighton should be number 1. I know you don't spend a lot of time looking at rankings because you don't want them to influence your own rankings. I'm the opposite. I do look at everybody else's. I mean, whether it's John Rothstein or Jeff Brazello or Jeff Goodman, you know, I'm very aware of where other people have teams ranked, if only because I don't want to have oh my God, I didn't think about that team. Or, oh, you know, I just don't want to miss something obvious. And, you know, most people have Creighton in the top 10 right now. Rothstein's got them all the way up at number 3, behind only North Carolina and Gonzaga. And I'm not going to sit here and insist that's too high because he might end up being right. But it is a big jump to go from where Creighton was to where some people think Creighton is going to be, based on they lost 2 of their top 3 scores, and it's not like they enrolled the number 1 recruiting class in America, although Baylor Shireman is awesome. 6'7", senior, averaged 16.2 points per game last season, 6'6", wing, yeah, got 7.8 rebounds per game, you know, shot 46.9% from 3 on 5.1 attempts. I mean, I think he's going to translate beautifully from South Dakota State to Creighton. And they're, you know, they're adding another transfer from TCU, Francisco Farabello, Mason Miller, former top 75 recruit, Mike Miller's son. He's my little homie from Memphis. You know, he's a 6'8 shooter, redshirted last season. Perhaps he can make an impact. But I guess I would just say, and clearly I think they're going to be good. But I was surprised when I saw people jump them into the top five after Shireman committed, because you start trying to find examples of teams that were 50 and lower at KenPom. You know, they bring back a lot of good pieces, but lost two of their top three scorers, and, you know, don't enroll a bunch of five-star guys, or it's just, it's a big jump. Like I went and looked just randomly to see if I could find teams that went from 50 or lower in KenPom 2 years ago to last season really, really good. Auburn is an example of it. They were 60 at the KenPom in 2021 and then finished 12th in 2022, but they added two first round NBA draft picks. So I am high on Creighton. I think they're going to win the Big East, but I'm not as high on Creighton as some other people are, just because, you know, typically, you know, to go from 50 or lower at KenPom to like top five at KenPom, you've got to add more than what Creighton is actually adding. Typically, doesn't mean it's impossible, but typically, I'm not sure this is a recipe for making that kind of jump.
Yeah, and again, Creighton fans, we like your team a lot. I don't want listen, when you especially if you're like a Creighton fan and you know, and I'm gonna get to this in just a second, you know how good or consistent your team has been, and you're thinking maybe, you know, this is the kind of year where we're going in and we should be getting more buzz and hype than maybe ever. There's something to that. But I'm just saying, I have a tendency to want to push back on one or two or three projected league winners in a preseason, because it doesn't always work out like that. I feel like Creighton might be that situation. My starting five projection would be Kalkbrenner at the five, Arthur Kalum at the four, Shireman at the three, Trey Alexander at the two, and then Ryan Nemhard at the one. I will give the program and McDermott a ton of credit for this. You know, Creighton finished tied atop the league in 2020. Which is the only time this happened since it got the Big East. And it's a bit forgotten, but the Jays would have been maybe a 2 seed, a 3 seed at worst if we had that tournament. That's a little bit forgotten a couple years later. The program has averaged 22.1 wins the past 7 seasons, GP, and finished between 20 and 25 wins in each of those years. So it has been steady, 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 steady for the most part without having an NCAA tournament caliber team in just two of those 7 seasons. So 5 of the 7 seasons, Creighton's been good enough to get to the NCAA tournament. And I'd say they overperformed expectations for relative to what they were heading into last season. So if anything, I think Creighton's a tad undervalued nationally for how reliable it's become. And remember, this stretch I'm talking about, 22.1 wins over the past 7 seasons, that is the post Doug McDermott years. Okay, so they've done a really, really good job. Non-conference schedule wise, they've got Texas Tech and Maui. The Maui bracket was officially released on Monday. You want to talk about a crazy, crazy contrast in styles. Creighton versus Texas Tech is awesome. And then they'll either play, that's one where for your tournament seeding, like you want to beat Texas Tech, not just because it'll be a good win, but if you win, you get a crack at Arkansas. If you lose, you'll play a Louisville team that's not projected to be an NCAA tournament team in the first season under Kenny Payne. So it's weird to me that Texas Tech, Creighton, and Arkansas are in the top half of that bracket, but whatever. On the bottom half, you've got the likes of Ohio State, San Diego State, Arizona, and Cincinnati. So we'll see. They also have, Creighton does, they're at Texas December 1st. That's the Big East Big 12 series, which got officially announced on Monday as well. So that's a wonderful game. Wonderful game. They'll host Nebraska. Those two schools play annually, of course. And then they are playing BYU and Arizona State in Las Vegas in December. All told, Parrish, that's a pretty presentable non-conference schedule to me, given what Creighton is, what they're expecting to be. I think that's pretty good. And the program, big picture, has been able to sustain itself well after enduring. This gets a little bit lost as well. You know, Creighton was subject to a significant NCAA investigation following the FBI probe, where one of McDermott's former assistants, I mean, I watched the video, was on camera accepting money in an effort to steer prospects and players to Christian Dawkins's agency at that point. They didn't realize they were on the take from the FBI, but McDermott kept his job. Creighton endured some sanctions, but it has not put the program behind the eight ball. They've been able to maintain it, and now they've got a fun, talented team, and yes, a team that should be considered as likely as any other to win the Big East.
The game at Texas, that'll be in Texas' new arena, right? Yes.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. And Creighton, it should be noted, has an incredible home court advantage as well.
Probably a top five arena GP I have not been to that I want to experience. I've heard this like pro style. You can speak to it, but pro style arena, great home court. I definitely, maybe this will be the season I get out there. I've always wanted to go there, but you're speaking something that I've heard a lot of, frankly, media people and coaches talk about before.
Yeah. I was there for Doug McDermott's senior night, where he went off, and it was obviously sold out. The game was on CBS Sports Network. It was Creighton Providence, I believe. And it was just funny. I was at the Providence shoot around that day, and they spent an hour talking about what they were going to, and then McDermott just came out and it was like this. And when he gets the ball here, we're going to do this. And it just didn't matter. He got the ball and did whatever he wanted. It that was of, and I could probably tell by my lack of hair and wrinkles, I've been doing this a long time now, and that was one of my favorite game experiences that I've ever had. Like being in Omaha that night for Doug's senior night and watching him have that moment with his family in front of that crowd, just being able to be a part of that. Like I really felt like, wow, this is neat that I get to, because I was on the sideline for it. This is neat that I get to be a part of that. So it's a great home court advantage, great environment. And, circling back, you ran through the starting lineup that you would project. I think that's exactly right. And if you want me to argue hey, maybe Creighton's going to be better than I think they're going to be. And I can't stress this enough. I think they're going to be good. I've got them 11th in the country. I've got them projected to win the Big East. But maybe they'll be even better than that. They are going to start, theoretically, four players who averaged double digits in points last season for an NCAA tournament team. How many teams are doing that?
Yeah,
good question. Probably not many. Last season's team, I always thought this was funny. Three of the top four scorers named Ryan. Has that ever happened before?
I'm sure it has, but
I'm not sure it has.
I'm sure there's a D3 team somewhere that had three of its top four scorers named Ryan. I'm almost positive that's
happened. How about never happened at the power conference level?
Fair.
I doubt it. Poking through the numbers a little bit, Greg is one of the great offensive coaches in the country, and Creighton has traditionally been very good offensively. They weren't last season. 112th in offensive efficiency, actually better defensively, 19th in defensive efficiency. Now, Baylor Shireman, I think, can fix a lot of that. I can't overstate how impactful I think he's going to be. And then, assuming you get Ryan Nimhard back good as new, he's the one, they broke his wrist in February in the middle of a game. And I remember watching that, and he knew immediately. Like I can't remember exactly what he said, but like you could lip read.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's broke. It was something like it's broken. He knew immediately something was bad, wrong. And then he had the season ending wrist surgery. But I'm assuming he'll be back good as new. And so if he is, they've got a roster of guys who, have a chance to do something special. And by special, I mean, yes, maybe take Creighton to its first Final Four. Like Creighton is now one of the great programs in the country that has not yet been to a Final Four. I think they've made one Elite Eight like a million years ago, but only been to a handful of Sweet 16s, one Elite Eight, no Final Fours. There's a chance on paper that this could go down as the most accomplished team in Creighton basketball history. How about that? Let's set the bar there. When it's all over with, is this the most accomplished team in Creighton basketball history?
McDermott team, that same team you saw in Omaha, I want to say they got knocked out of the second round. feel like they lost in the second round. You want to fact check me on that, GP? Second round NCAA tournament.
No,
I bounced by Baylor. Have we done back-to-back pods on Baylor and Creighton? And Baylor was the team that knocked out Creighton in the second round.
I don't.
2014 tournament.
You got it right. It is 2014 NCAA tournament, beat Louisiana Lafayette in the first round and then lost to Baylor. Woo, I remember it being bad. I think I might have been there. 85-55.
I love how you can't remember. I might have been there.
I think I might have been there, but I'm not sure.
That's too funny. By the way, I'm almost positive. You just said Louisiana Lafayette. I'm almost positive that game had two future pros because I believe that was Elfrid Payton's Louisiana Lafayette team, which they're now just Louisiana, but at the time they were Louisiana Lafayette. I'm 90% sure.
Elfrid Payton was on that team.
Bada bang. Here we go. A quick on Nembhard. I love his. If I assume he's going to return well from a wrist injury. In fact, Ryan Nembhard and I have this in common. We both have broken our wrist and had surgery on a wrist playing basketball. Granted, the situations were drastically different.
Also broke my wrist.
Doing what?
Riding a bicycle.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We've shared this one on the pod before. Coincidentally,
I woke up from the anesthesia while they were resetting my arm.
Yeah, that's horrendous.
Oh, horrendous.
Horrendous.
These two bones right here, if you do have two, this is the way I remember it. There's bones here. And when you hear somebody broke their wrist, it's not usually broken 100%. Yeah. Mine were like either like really, really bad. So they had to put me under, reset it. I woke up while they were resetting it. My parents could hear me yelling from the waiting room at the emergency room.
Absolutely horrendous, man. Just atrocious.
The childhood trauma I endured is still taking a toll on me.
I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but coincidentally enough, when I broke my wrist in 2002, when I woke up after, not during the anesthesia, after surgery, it was when Terrell Taylor beat Florida in the first round of the NCAA tournament for Creighton. I was half awake and barely remember that, but sure enough, that's it. As for Ryan Nembhard, I love his outlook. Last season, he averaged 11.3 points, 3.1 boards, 4.4 assists on 40.4 shooting overall from the field. I think that he has terrific pro potential, similar to his brother, who became, I think, 21st. He was top 25 pick. Andrew was out of Gonzaga there. Ryan might prove to ultimately maybe be better. He's a little smaller, which is the thing that's going to hold it against him. He's, 6 feet, maybe 6'1". But overall, I love him as a college player. And if he's back and fully healthy, yeah, he could be one of the best. I think he could be one of the best point guards in the country this season, granted if he's fully healthy. So keep an eye on that as well if you are Creighton. And yeah, this has been kind of long awaited as far as I'm concerned in terms of the Big East. Jay Wright unexpectedly retires, and now we've got, and I think we're going to do one on Nova on the back end of this. So we'll get to Villanova a bit more, maybe expand this discussion even further beyond. But in most seasons, it has been you head into the Big East and it's Villanova and then everyone else. In most seasons since the conference reformed nearly a decade ago, this season it is different. Villanova is not going to be considered the favorite by some, by many. Maybe a few people still have them as default there. I would resist that. And you could have Creighton, Nova, UConn, Providence, all in that conversation there. I'm interested to see, and I like the fact that the Big East finally has a little bit of at least projected change at the top of the league. If Creighton plays the way we think it will, yes, Creighton will win. Will win the league, and in doing so, history shows. Now, this is granted, GP. This has been Villanova, but if you win the Big East, you're looking at either a 1 or 2 or a 3 seed at minimum. And if that were the case, yes. All the way around in your question, put me down for 57% that this is the most accomplished and best year in Creighton men's basketball history.
Okay, we'll see. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Huck and Larnell. Thank you guys once again for listening. I Own College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify at Apple. 5 stars, nice review, type some words. There's more of us than there are of them. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel yet, please do that as well. And we will continue our summer shoot around series next week. The next 2 schools we'll be focusing on, Duke and Gonzaga. We'll have another episode in between then. So just keep checking. We'll be back real soon. Till then, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.